This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number three, and I believe we've got both mics working again, which is, of course, fitting. It's Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hour number three, the mics are working again. The gremlins have been exercised. And when it is hour number three, Bart Scott, on Halloween, what's that mean?
It's the...
No, don't do that.
The mic's not... The power hour, hour, hour! So nice, I hear myself twice!
Same here. The echo continues. Listen, I'm telling you, this is what we get.
The freaks come out at night. What?
The freaks come out at night. I mean, it's we talked about how on Halloween, like, we're too old to dress up and all that stuff. We're talking about Halloween candy, and then this is
they
what
didn't
happened.
Like that. That's what happens. You start talking about people. Like, listen, people love Halloween.
Yeah,
it's an opportunity for them to wear stuff that they can never get away with. They don't have to be adults right now. Especially, oh, man, you go to some of these parties, man.
Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. you go, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
Last time I saw somebody with an outfit like that, her name was Platinum. I'm just I'm playing, but I'm not playing.
888-SAY-ESPN.
What are you?
3776.
Thing one didn't look like that when I saw her in Dr. Seuss' book. Lady Hump Humps.
It is mystique and unique.
Mm.
We got your calls for Overreaction Monday. We'll get back to those. And Bart, you know what? I'll tell you what. If you look now after yesterday's games, the NFC East continues to be an interesting story. Because even now, like, the Washington Commanders played the Colts. The Colts are a mess, right? We just can see that they're just not right. And you wonder what's going to happen there at the end of this season now with Indianapolis. 3-4-1. And Tennessee now at 5-2 feels like they've kind of taken control of their destiny to win the division. And the Colts could end up being a team that just doesn't even make the playoffs, which is hard to believe.
Yo.
when they traded for Matt Ryan. But the Commanders win to go to 4-4. The Giants lose to Seattle, which you said would happen because that's a tough
place to play. And Kenneth Walker is a beast.
Long trip, right. Walker
and
Metcalf tell us
played.
About. And Geno Smith played well again. Yeah. And the Giants made a lot of mistakes. The Giants just made some mistakes in this game. So they're still 6-2, however. And then Dallas wins, as they were expected to do against Chicago. And the Eagles just keep rolling. They beat Pittsburgh. They remain undefeated at 7-0. Out of these teams, which is the Eagles being undefeated, you already said earlier in the season, earlier in the show, that the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender in your mind.
Yes.
That they have made it clear. Like, with the way they play, their quarterback, his connection to A.J. Brown, the fact that their front office makes moves to continue to add to this team because they're trying to win now, you're buying what you're seeing in the Eagles. But what about the Cowboys? Are we buying, you know, Tony Pollard and his ability to be a game breaker? Dak is back and healthy, and that defense is still excellent. Do you buy the Dallas Cowboys as a team that in the end, it could come down to the NFC, you know, and you don't want to discount the Minnesota Vikings just yet. They're 6-1, but Eagles, Cowboys, are they your two best NFC teams and they happen to just be in the same division?
Best NFC teams? I don't know. I mean, you got to get some credit
to Minnesota.
You got to give some credit to Minnesota.
Yep.
They're built the right way. Kevin O'Connell doing a great job his first year. They've only lost one game. I think they're going under the radar. Now, they went out early in the season. I don't think they were ready for Philadelphia and what they bring to the table. But I think they're right there. I think by far, I think the Eagles are the most complete team. But I believe San Francisco is the most dangerous team.
Yeah, you called them dangerous, right?
Yeah, because now they have two home run hitters. I mean, Ayuk balled out last year during mm-hmm. the playoffs as well. But
yep.
Debo and Christian McCaffrey makes them unique. And it's weird because Kittle's a superstar, but he doesn't really care about receiving the ball. He can really play as far as being on that. He's like Gronk as far as in the running game.
Yeah.
How he's able to just power drive defensive ends, and that's an advantage.
Yep.
Because on the left side, opposite of him, is the best left tackle in football.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about the physicality in which they can play with. And if McCaffrey can stay healthy, and that's always a big if,
yep.
right? Because, you know, he's a shiny new toy right now, but you start overusing him, you know, that engine light come on, you get the timing belt busts and all that type of stuff. But, man, you talk about having guys that put pressure on you because Debo and Christian McCaffrey are interchangeable. Like, you can put McCaffrey at receiver and put Debo in the backfield
right.
and still run the same plays.
Which is why I think when you talk about, you know, Christian McCaffrey staying healthy, this might be the best scenario for him because you don't have to – he doesn't have to have a high usage rate.
Right.
You could still get big-time plays out of him like we saw yesterday. I mean, being able to throw a touchdown, catch it for a touchdown, run for a touchdown. I mean, that is a dynamic weapon that you just added to this team. 888-SAY-ESPN, Overreaction Monday. We've got Dave in Reno. What's up, Dave?
What up, gentlemen? Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. A big fan. I just wanted to say that. Big Niner fan. If you guys are wondering, I watched Joe Montana and Jerry Rice throw the ball. I watched Steve Young and Brent Jones throw the ball. It's been a long time since we've kind of had this energy in San Francisco. And I'm just, you know, Christian McCaffrey just sold it yesterday. He sold me on owning the NFC West for the rest of the season. And, man, making a run. I mean, I honestly feel that the Niners can make a run at least into the second game of the playoffs. What do you guys think?
I mean, you saw them do this last year with Jimmy G, right? Go right to the brink. They were right there with the Rams. They owned the Rams. But the thing is, can they go deep and can they win it? Because you know it's going to be a hard reset because when Love comes, it's going to be a different team. You're going to take a step back. How much pressure are Lynch and Shanahan under to see this thing through? They went to a Super Bowl, but they haven't won it. It's been 6 years. They've had a team right there on the brink, and you know they went all in on Trey Lance. But if they don't win this year, and this thing is wide open, this may be their best chance to win. It is no dominant Tampa team. It is no dominant Rams team. The Rams don't have a move to make that can make them what they were last year. They can bring Odell Beckham all they want. And I know that Vance Jefferson came off the snide, and that would give them Vance Jefferson, right. Cooper Kupp. But they can't protect Matthew Stafford. So, I mean, if you don't win it now, you got a reality coming because you're not going to pay Jimmy G twice.
All right, we'll continue with the calls. Overreaction Monday, we go to Arizona to talk to Colin. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Barton Hahn. I just want to talk here. Broncos fan, yeah, we're still alive.
Are you?
Russell Wilson looked good out there. Greg Dulcich. Do you think they sell out before the deadline, or do you think they're looking at their schedule for the next 3 weeks? They got the Titans. They got the Raiders. And they got the Panthers. They think they can turn it around and go 6-4.
Yeah, I mean, did you see something yesterday in London, Bart, that makes you feel like after everything that they've been through that maybe things are starting to turn? Russell Wilson, you know, came back from his shoulder issues. It's been a lot of goofy stuff being said about him and a lot of things that are going on with him off the field. But on the field, he was very effective yesterday against a Jaguars team that just cannot seem to win.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You say the Jaguars team that can't really do much. Now, I know he threw for almost, you know, 250 yards, but he still had 12 incompletions. You know, this is a tough one, right? Because you can't tell your fan base and your new ownership that you're ready to sell all your assets off when you're sitting there at 3-5, knowing that you can become 6-5 in short order and be right there with everybody kind of – is it just me, but – did the Panthers trade everybody away and they look like a better football team?
It's amazing. DJ Moore's the next guy that you're wondering, will he go by tomorrow?
I see, but I don't think they will because they're saying, listen, this team is good enough. This team was one dumb kicker from being in first place.
Crazy.
One missed kick from being in first place. One extra point from being in first place. One field goal in overtime from being in first place.
Well, they would have been 3-5. They would have been second place. That's right. They would have beaten the Falcons. I just realized who they were playing.
Yes, that was for first place.
Do you realize that everybody would have had the same record in this division?
And the Panthers would have been first place. They would have beat the Falcons, and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I just drew a blank because we're talking about it, and I'm thinking like, no, not really. And then I'm looking at the division. I'm going, no, you're right. They all would have had the same damn record.
And they would have had the head-to-head against the two teams behind them.
That is absolutely crazy. That doesn't even make any damn sense.
But you have the Commanders at 4-4.
Yeah.
So, like, 4-4, like, everybody at the halfway point is like, hey, man, we're at 500. Like, so that's what's weird.
Because is this parity? Are we experiencing a bit of parity in the league?
No, it's bad football.
It's bad football, right?
It's bad football. It's not parity. Yes, parity. Everybody's equally bad. And the quarterbacks that have been the difference makers, like Tom Brady, like Aaron Rodgers aren't who they were before, and they can't manipulate and win games the way they were they used to. Like, at what time did Magic Johnson start becoming just, oh man, he's not elite anymore? You know what I mean? Where he just kind of started slowing down and he became a defensive liability, right? Because I remember when they played the Pistons and the Pistons won, they just ran them and said, these dudes are old, we're young. And in the second one, the Pistons just attacked Magic Johnson with Joe Dumars. Like, it feels like now Brady and Rodgers feels old.
Yeah.
And people are just attacking him.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't see it as fast as he used to. It could be because his receivers can't create separation, so it's not there. They're not on the same page, anticipation. Tom Brady curls up like a bad folding chair. Anytime anybody even gets remarkably even close to him, he's skipping balls, and him and Mike Evans aren't even on the same page. They've been together for 3 years.
That's the part that doesn't make sense. If you're talking about the two great players, right, the two greats that are still playing, the Tom Brady, Mike Evans disconnect that we saw on Thursday night
two times
made no sense because of the history. At least I know it's not him and Gronk.
3 years still, though,
right? 3 years should get it done.
He's been his number one receiver for 3 years.
He's tapping his chest. Evans is like, my bad, and Brady is like losing his mind. But the Aaron Rodgers part of it, I get, because who is it there that he's throwing to that he even knows?
But it used to didn't matter,
really,
because remember last year Devontae Adams was hurt a lot. Right, the last couple of years he had the bad ankle. It didn't slow Aaron Rodgers down. He still was 13-3.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, Devontae Adams was out of the lineup a lot the last couple
of
years.
And here's how you know Aaron Rodgers is sort of reaching that point of like, I don't even know anymore, because he's been so opinionated after games.
Yeah.
He has talked on McAfee's show, which I'm sure he'll do again today, and he has opined about his team and what needs to be done. He's got a lot to say. What's amazing is that after yesterday's loss, and we knew they were going to lose. And, again, at least they cut it to 10. They made it at 10 points, so the spread was 11.5, which was an embarrassing spread to walk into.
Yeah.
But the fact that they lost almost like with the Bills not really playing their A game, and they still lost by double digits. Aaron Rodgers after the game, listen to this, sounded like a guy who had run out of things to say.
I think that the most important thing is to take a beat after frustration like this. The last thing you want is to respond in emotion. So take a beat, let it sit. There's not a whole lot to say after the game that's really going to, spark the team, I don't think.
Yeah, take a beat. So I guess whatever you said last week that you thought might spark the team, that didn't work. The week before, that didn't work. So now it's time to see if the Packers will be active before the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It'll be a very busy day, or at least we might think it could be. It's been busy going into this weekend with a lot of different moves that were made. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got the BS Translator at the bottom of the hour, but we've got a lot of calls as Overreaction Monday continues, so let's continue to go through them, because all around the league, this was a very big reaction kind of weekend.
Yeah.
With different games and different outcomes from various teams, whether it's positive or negative. Let's continue. A lot of Jets reaction after yesterday and Zach Wilson, all the things that he had to say. Antonio is in Ohio. Antonio,
what's going on, fellas?
What's happening,
how y'all doing?
Man? We good.
Hey, Bart, you my man, and I know you got the inside scoop on the Jets. I need you to tell them they got to get rid of Wilson. They got to put an offer in for Justin Fields. So right.
You know what Chicago gave up for Justin Fields?
There's no way they're moving on from Justin Fields.
You know what? I mean, to your point, I'm sorry, not to kind of like, laugh at what you're saying, because this regime did not make the trade for Justin Fields. So we feel like Justin Fields isn't their guy. And the last couple of weeks, they've started to figure out how to use him.
Yeah.
But I can see them moving on from Justin Fields in the next couple of years, if they get a good enough offer. It's going to cost you a first round draft pick. Wow. The Jets aren't going to be in that.
Bart, you said it earlier. The Jets, this is the second time they've picked in the top three a quarterback in the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
You can't keep like doing this.
At some point, you have to.
Somebody's got to stick.
Right. And the thing is, they don't need Zach Wilson to be great.
He
not to be a train wreck.
Right. Well, he admitted that he got bored playing safe. and they've got to like slap him and say you have to play safe.
They got to take it, but you take it out of his hands by handing the ball off, and they only ran the ball like 15 times.
Did the Patriots dictate any of that?
No.
No.
No, they didn't have the box stacked or nothing crazy like that.
So why are we constantly calling these? I mean, was it because they didn't have
Where was the jet sweeps? Second and long, third and long? Where were the jet sweeps? Like the jet sweeps Elijah Moore or to Braxton Berrios to make them those defensive ends loosen up so you can run the ball in between the tackles.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More overreactions. This is a very interesting question that Frank has in Connecticut. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, big fan. Bart, love your candor, commentary. I want to know, are the Vikings for real or not? I mean, I've been a Viking fan since the 1970s, and they always look the same to me. They heartbreak you every time, and you wonder what they're doing out there. What do you really think about them?
It's a great question, because they are the least talked about 6-1 team. Yeah. Right? Like, you're just not talking about what they've done, and what they've got coming up is an interesting schedule. Because they'll play the Commanders next week, right?
Yep.
But then Bills and Cowboys in consecutive weeks. We'll learn a lot about the Vikings because what was the one team they lost to? The Eagles.
The Eagles.
So we'll learn a lot about them in the next couple of weeks, won't we?
Yeah, we will. And we'll see if this team is legit. You know, Kevin O'Connell coming from that,
right.
You know, Sean McVay. Will the rest of the league catch up to what he's doing? You know, that remains to be seen. They have a talented roster from a skill standpoint. You think about Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. You look on the outside, Justin Jefferson could be the best receiver in football. You know what I mean? You have to, you know, see. I think they are excited to see what they can do because the first time they stepped up in class,
yeah,
they weren't able to get the victory.
More calls, a lot of Raider Nation reaction as well. We go to California, talk to Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Bart, Ahon. Love your show, guys. So this is kind of a throwback to when Bart started the season and said the five biggest players that need to kind of show something more to make their value worth it. And I had called in and said Derek Carr, and you guys kind of defended him.
Yeah.
At this point in time, I think defending Derek Carr is kind of past that point. I do feel like the Raiders should be looking to move on to a new quarterback or looking into this future draft coming up and looking for his replacement.
They just paid him this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. Listen, everybody's playing bad. That's why I think it's more on the coach and schematics than it is anything. You don't just get that bad this fast.
3 years, $121 million, though. You just don't move on from a guy.
You like, can't.
You
can't
just got him his quarterback. You just got, I mean, his wide receiver. You just got him the guy that, you know, is supposed to make him.
You pay Waller. You're stuck with him. Like, this is Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels took a playoff team last year and made them horrible, almost unwatchable. Like, that is a Josh McDaniels thing. That can't be on the roster and the talent that they have. It's not like they've played Kansas City or they're playing teams within their division and everybody in the division is good. We thought they were going to be bad. They couldn't put up a point against the Saints who were struggling with Andy Dalton.
This stat blows my mind. He has 9 touchdowns in 7 games. Like, you thought that they would be a much bigger offense than that, didn't you?
Man, pull up his numbers from last year. And you can't tell me that this is a him problem.
Mm.
This is a schematics problem.
He's thrown for over 4,000 yards in 4 straight seasons.
Right. This
year, halfway through, he's at 1,600.
This is not a him problem.
Yeah.
To me, this sounds like a Josh McDaniel problem.
I mean, he said that it's on him. That's what he said. It is on him. That's what Josh McDaniel said after a loss like this. Let's go to Jonathan in L.A. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Happy Halloween. Hopefully you guys are having a good one. Hey, Bart, quick thing. Today in the morning, I showed my son a quick video of Paul Bear. Scared the hell out of him, man. And I just want to see, man, it's Halloween. He's a 5-year-old.
Whoa,
I want to see, man.
One.
It's Halloween.
Trick or treat.
Come on, man.
Trick or treat.
I got
treat.
A question for
Go ahead.
Black licorice for you. Purple jelly beans. Ah!
What's happening, Jonathan? What do you got?
I got a question really quick for Pastor Thomas.
All right, so the Falcons, they were supposed to beat the Saints on week one, and they were a sack away or a bad call away from beating Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I think the Falcons are a good, young, up-and-coming team, and I just want to ask Barstadamas to see what he think about him. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Oh, the dirty birds of Atlanta. Oh, sweet lemon pepper wings. So tasty and enticing. Club One Tweezy, Magic City. Yes, the Dirty Birds will rise. Calvin Ridley coming back next year. Marcus Mariota with his legs.
Did they find the quarterback?
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
So, wait, you don't think that they found their quarterback?
Who, Rimmers? The guy who's backup? He's supposed to be the future. You know, made Barsha Dobbins come out of character. Damn it.
Well, I mean, they put up 200 points. I mean, they're
Drake London and Kyle Pitts by themselves is a problem.
Yeah.
You add Calvin Ridley to that if he's not gambling on games anytime soon, he gets reinstated. I know for a minute he was kind of on the outs wanting to be traded before those allegations came out. Maybe where he sees his team playing, he can say, man, I can fit in and be that guy. Because remember, they let Julio Jones go. Because they felt like Calvin Ridley was ready to be a number one. And his first year being a number one, he did not disappoint.
Arthur Smith.
The problem is his defense is horrible.
Yeah. Like, he gave a ton of points.
AJ Terrell is a good player, but man, they got a lot of work to do. You know, Grady Jarrett is elite. They got a lot of work to do as far as being able to shore up this defense. But man, the Dirty Birds in a couple of years, like I talk about how I'm bold on the Lions and their skill position. Like the skill position for Cordarrelle Patterson being accepting his new role as a tailback allows them to essentially play five wides if they go to empty. Like, could you imagine Calvin Ridley, Pitts, Drake London, and Cordarrelle Patterson just all in empty? And the linebacker's like, okay, yeah, I got him. Oh, you got the former receiver.
Yeah,
good luck with that. Because we got to double the 4-3-40 tight end out here.
Nick was talking about that.
Yeah, like what are you going to do?
Well, you know you just can't guard it. Yeah, no, Arthur Smith's done a really good job there already, and you could feel like that's also a team on its way. You know what else is on its way, Bart? Finally, after all this time, we're getting to it. The BS Translator. What they said, but what did they really meant? That's coming up next. Of course, your calls continue as well. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, Bart and Han, celebrating Halloween with you. Celebrating so much that the Gremlins got into the system today. It's been a weird show, right? Like, for a while, we were sharing a mic. For a while, you were hearing, like, earlier portions of the show. It's just been that kind of day. It's Halloween. Just watch your own technology today, everybody, because if it can happen to us,
it can happen to you.
That's right. Don't you forget. But something we planned on doing earlier in the show, but because of all the technical difficulties, we weren't able to get to. But we always do on a Monday, so let's do it now. We kick it off. Start it up. The BS Translator.
A little voice pops up in the back of your mind to say, this guy who's sitting before me is telling me stories.
This is the BS Translator.
That's why there's hope, because there's people like me who listen.
With Bart and Han.
All right, Bart Scott, let's begin the BS Translator with something said by Russell Wilson. So the Broncos offense gets going in London against the Jaguars. He throws a touchdown pass, the 298th, by the way, of his career. It ties in with Dan Marino, friend of the show, for second most by any quarterback in their first 11 seasons in NFL history. Beats the Jaguars, a team that just really can't get out of its own way right now. But how about his walk-off with Laura Rutledge after the game was over? Kind of doubling down on things that we all enjoy to make fun of him about. And just letting us know that he believes in himself, whether you do or not.
I wouldn't be here if I couldn't handle the pressure, you know? I kind of enjoy it. You know, it's one of those things that these guys have been awesome too. You know, lifting me up every day, picking me up. Their work ethic. I mean, how they come to work every day, no matter what's been going on, no matter what's been said. You know, and at the end of the day, I also know who I am. You know, God's given me an amazing ability to keep going and keep playing and keep doing what I love to do every day and, you know, keep leading. So at the end of the day, I ain't going to blink.
Enjoy that flight.
Yo, Broncos country. Let's ride, baby.
Well, there was a lot of BS there.
Yeah, I mean.
Can you translate for me?
Hey, I got $250 million. I got a fine-ass wife. I got a lot of money in the bank, and I'm going to go right into corporate America afterwards with the connections I'm making. I'll be a cornball all the way to the bank. As long as me and my wife and my kids are good, I don't care what y'all think about me. Let's ride. And, yeah, that's me making fun of y'all, making fun of me, because guess what? Two tears in a bucket, I can care less.
That's what I heard, too. That was his passive-aggressive way of saying bleep you.
Yeah.
Right? That's literally what I felt like he did there. He definitely pays attention to the criticism, no doubt about that. All right, the BS translator continues on Bart and Han. So the Vikings win again. Now, of course, we all know that Kirk Cousins is solar-powered. We stole that joke from one of our callers because it's a great one. So when he plays during the day, he's fantastic. And the Vikings remain one of three teams undefeated at home this season. Them, the Eagles, right? 4-0. The Eagles are 4-0. The Bills are 3-0. And let's just be honest, we don't talk enough about the Vikings at 6-1, dominating their division, and how good that maybe they could be. Kirk Cousins doesn't care. So, Bart, translate this.
Great to be 6-1. Great to be winning at home. When you look at kind of the tail of the game today, I think it's been similar to our other wins, where it really has been the whole team needing a play from special teams, needing turnovers from the defense, needing the offense to show up and score. You know, it's been complimentary football is the way we've been winning.
Doesn't care that no one is paying attention.
I mean, I think he prefers it, but the problem is, you know, we're going to start paying attention quite shortly because he's going to be playing the varsity. So we're going to see. You spoke about, you know, who they have next and what they have coming up. You know, he's going to have to play well. And then, you know, the better he plays, a lot of these games are going to be flexed into, you know, primetime games. And we're going to have to see.
And that's his kryptonite?
Right. Like, he's playing, please don't flex any of my games. I don't want any of my games, you know, scheduled there. But, you know, like, to this point, now, complimentary football, and they're figuring out ways to get it done. You know what I mean? So far, so good. You know, let's see if Kirk Cousins can handle the pressure because, you know, you talk about him being one of the highest paid, or if not the highest paid quarterback, you know, in the last 5 years. You know, they went through Dalvin Cook, you know, over 100 yards rushing. That's always a good way to go. You know, Justin Jefferson, Alan Thienem doing their thing. You know, let's see if they can handle the varsity. Like, not saying Arizona isn't a very capable team. DeAndre Hopkins coming back, you know, over 100 yards again, 12 receptions, 112 yards receiving. It wasn't a walk in the park. But at some point, we're going to have to see him beat somebody really good. And we don't know if he's done that. The first time he had to go against Jalen Hurts, he took an L. Now, yeah, he did beat Aaron, but that looks like a bad win, an easy win, not a high character, high pressure win because everybody's beating Aaron Rodgers right now.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks and one that, whether it's day or night, like there's still a lot of question marks about what he is, that's Zach Wilson. But one of his targets or somebody that you thought would be one of his weapons this year, Elijah Moore, has not been happy with his usage in the Jets offense. Remember, they sent him away last week on a very important day on Thursday during the week because he wasn't happy with his role. He had asked for a trade. The Jets said, we're not trading you, not a young talent like you. So, okay, he does play in the game over on Sunday.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, 10 plays total. 6 wide receivers, 4 in a slot. They didn't really use him a lot. And after the game, Elijah Moore was asked about his role and, more importantly, his relationship with the quarterback, Zach Wilson.
How would you describe your chemistry with Zach on the field?
I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. I don't get the ball. I don't know.
Is there much to translate from this? It doesn't sound like BS. It sounds like he's being very straight up. I don't know. I don't get the ball.
Yeah, why bring me back? Like, to put me up against a team that I play well, sounds like they, you know, to me, like the Jets were still punishing him for his demands. It's like sometimes you don't cut your nose to spite your face. Because at the end of the day, whether he had a, you know, the objective is to get the ball in his hands. Like, it seems like Conklin is the most targeted guy out of everybody. I mean, Zach Wilson don't really target receivers. Like, Garrett Wilson gets his targets. Tyler Conklin, I feel like, is his go-to guy. Tyler Conklin has replaced him as his go-to guy when last year that was Elijah Moore. When he went for over 500 yards, and you talk about in the second half of the season, was getting into the end zone routinely. Like, if you don't have Breece Hall and you need home run ability, he's a guy that you can hand a jet sweep to like Percy Harvin. He's a guy that you can give a screen pass to. No screens, no jet sweeps. And it's surprising because he's a guy that can be a home run hitter. He was that last year. And to not utilize him that because and not to have him dressed and not really have him up inside of the personnel groups, to me, is puzzling. And I feel like it cost him.
So, again, he played only 10 of 58 snaps. This is per Next Gen. Zero catches, just one target. And Robert Saleh, the head coach, said that the role that he played or the lack thereof had nothing to do with the trade request. They were looking for Garrett Wilson and get more out of him with Corey Davis out of the lineup.
No. Let's say how he said it. Like, he didn't say it quite like that. He said that we wanted to see more Garrett Wilson, insinuating like Garrett Wilson is a starter. So naturally, when you have two receiver sets, the realistic thing would be to put Elijah Moore, who's supposed to be the number two receiver, if not the number three receiver. He's definitely the second best receiver. If you think Garrett Wilson's better than him, he's definitely the second best receiver.
All right.
So why is he only out there for 10 plays? I saw Vincent Smith, right. Jeff Smith, or what? I don't even know his name. And he plays special teams, number 12. Scored a touchdown. I don't care.
Oh, you got a touchdown. That's nice.
It makes it seem like it's.
Yeah, you can see it. Bart can't translate this BS. That's what we're
BS
learning
so
here.
Thick, I can't even cut through.
Yeah, yeah. He can't translate this one. Can you? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The World Series, by the way, continues tonight. Phillies and the Astros.
Is it going back to Houston?
They split in Houston. You got Thor going tonight, little Noah Syndergaard. Lance McCullers as well for the Astros. This is a pivotal game. Game threes are always pivotal, especially when it's a split.
Why you never smiled when you talked about Syndergaard when he was a Met? Like you feel good.
Did I smile?
You smized.
I smized?
Yeah, smile with your eyes. Like Syndergaard, like, oh, the hope Syndergaard can get it done. Well, like you're rooting for him. You never rooted for him when he was a Met. Don't understand it.
Go Phillies! The World Series on ESPN Radio presented by AutoZone.
Catch
all the action tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We got more of your calls to finish off the show and also a little Monday night preview. We have one theory on why it's the Browns and the Bengals on Halloween night. We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
Well done on the music today, boys. A little zombie for you on Halloween. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tonight we have the final game of the weekend, Monday Night Football
in
preview.
Cleveland.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You've got two teams with orange, right? The orange helmets.
Cleveland.
So you've got, you know, a little Halloween theme there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some orange. And I guess black on the
Doo-doo Brown.
on the Cincinnati side. So you have that little bit of Halloween theme when it comes to the matchup. But for this game, for Cincinnati, this is.
They better get this game.
This is a must win. Even without Jamar Chase. This is a must win. Now, the Browns have lost four in a row. Eventually, they got to start winning. Like, you can't fall too big into a hole, and then Deshaun Watson comes back, and it's like, it doesn't matter. It's too late.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well just not play them so you can get a better draft pick.
Like, didn't we say about the Browns?
Oh,
like,
they only had their own draft pick, so yeah, they don't matter. They got to try to win. Yeah.
Right.
He's going to play regardless.
Yeah, exactly. The Houston Texans are rooting for them to continue to lose. But, like, the Browns are 2-5.
Which is amazing.
And we thought, you know, if you could just stabilize, just be 500, whatever it is. So for them, this is a big game because at least you get to 3-5 and you can stay in shouting distance knowing you've got this guy coming back at some point. But the Bengals, man.
It didn't run away with it. Like, nobody ran away with the division. So it kept Cleveland in striking distance. If they're able to win this one, you know, that's game 8. They go into game 9, 10. Deshaun Watson to be back there practicing.
Yep.
And this team, without Deshaun Watson, should be better than what it is. Like, this is one of the best.
Defensively, that they'd be good.
One of the best offensive lines.
Yeah.
Defensively, best personnel. That defensive coordinator leaves much to be desired. This should be a shutout. And especially when you can run the ball with the number one running back in football and Nick Chubb and then Kareem Hunt. Like, you should be able to ugly games up so ugly that teams can't come back once you get up by 10 points or more.
They lose this game. You think they move out, like they make a trade, like Hunt goes or something like that? Like, you think?
Yeah, I think Hunt's on everybody's short list.
Yeah, everybody's, right?
Lose today. He's not going to be back there next year. He's not going to resign because he's a free agent. You're not going to tag him. So if that's the case, you might as well get something for him. Him and Kareem Alvin Kamara are the two hottest dual threat type of running backs out there. And if Cleveland decides to move Kamara to the Bills, then now you're stuck with a player that you got to hold on to because nobody else may call for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, again, trade deadline in the NFL is tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern. You'll have all the coverage tomorrow on our show, so you certainly want to tune in for that. See what other moves. There's been already some very interesting ones, if other moves can be made by tomorrow. But we still have a Monday night game tonight. And, of course, that is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping veterans move their lives forward since 2013. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. So, Bart, I mean, you just talked about it. Is there a player, like there was a rumor about the Jets and Bradley Chubb, and Rich Cimini's already said a source has told them the Jets are not in on anything like that.
Yeah, they got plenty.
All right, but is there a player you're watching that you think, you mentioned Kamara, maybe that's it. One more difference-making trade that could happen tomorrow. If there's one, what are you watching?
I mean, Chubb is one. Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt is two. Also, Jack Conklin. If Cleveland loses this game, Conklin is a free agent, right tackle. He would be perfect for anybody that
again,
needs a right tackle.
You've got Deshaun coming back, though. Don't you want to have guys like that?
No, because he's not going to be back there next year. You're not re-signing him, so it doesn't matter. You might as well get something for him. Deshaun has played with horrible lines before. They still have the top five offensive line with or without Jack.
Right.
So Deshaun is an athletic quarterback that, you know, his offensive line in Cleveland, meaning Houston, was horrible.
Yeah.
So imagine getting a number two or a number three, conditional three, for Jack Conklin when, you know, when Deshaun gets back, it's only going to be seven games left. Yeah. So that's something that you can build to get better at because they have to figure something out because their defense shouldn't be better. Bad, just bad. They got Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got Amari Cooper and the best two pair of running backs in the game.
Yeah.
Well, you want two games?
Tomorrow, everybody. Stay with us. Enjoy the rest of your Halloween. Be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.